We're going to open the scriptures together, and Marlene is going to lead us in our first reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, we're going to be reading about some shepherds. These are not shepherds who are caring for, not that sort of sheep. They're caring for people. And as we're going to see, they weren't doing a particularly good job of it either.
Reading from Ezekiel chapter 34, which is found on page 1235 of your pew Bibles. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lay down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So far, the reading of God's word.
Marlene, if you have your Bibles open, you might like to turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. There are three parables in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And we're going to be looking at the first two of those this morning and the third this afternoon. Luke 15 begins like this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Let me pause here to comment before we continue on in our reading. Jesus, you see, wasn't viewed very highly by the religious leaders back in his day. And this story serves to prove that very point. Time and time again, what is Jesus criticized for? He's criticized for spending time with people who are not considered kosher by the religious establishment. We read here that tax collectors and other bad people, other sinful people, were crowding round to hear Jesus. And Jesus wasn't only speaking to them, he was eating with them, he was sharing meals together. And this was too much for the religious leaders to bear. Didn't Jesus know the sayings of the rabbis? Here was one of them. Let not a man associate with the wicked, not even to bring him the law. But Jesus was just plain ignoring this. Jesus had this messed up idea that bad people could come to know God. Where did he get that idea from? That the people could have their lives turned around by God, change their whole orientation to life, the universe, and everything. What does this Jesus think he knows? We know much better than he does. So Jesus went on to tell them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And as we look together at the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin this morning, the first thing we see is that heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices. So we read this first story of the lost sheep. It's apparent to us, I think, that we live in a very different cultural context today. If you or I were farmers and we had 100 sheep and we lost one of them, wouldn't we perhaps just be glad that we still had 99 in the paddock? Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you've had accountancy training and you think economically. You feel like, well, look, you multiply the number of hours it's going to take to find the lost sheep and you compare that to the value times your hourly rate, and you compare it to the value of the sheep and you think, look, it's just really not worth going after this one sheep. It's a little bit like having a toaster break and you're like, well, I could go to the electrical appliance repair person, but it's going to cost $150 before they've even fixed anything. I'll just buy a new toaster. That's what we might think about a sheep. We're like, well, it'll take this long to find it and it's only worth this much. Look, let's just leave it. Maybe it means the wolves aren't going to come after the other 99 because they're not going to be hungry tonight. Just 1% of the flock. Only one sheep. 1 out of 100. But that's not what Jesus' listeners would have heard. That's not what they would have thought. A sheep was valuable. A sheep is something worth searching for. Presumably, the shepherd leaves his flock in the care of other shepherds to go after the sheep. He doesn't just leave them 99 in the open for wolves to come along and oppress. No, he leaves them in safety. He goes after that sheep, and when it's found, the shepherd comes home, he gathers his neighbors and friends together, and he celebrates. He has a big party. I always wonder if he killed a sheep for this party, but I'm assuming he didn't. He celebrated. He was so pleased that he had found this lost sheep. And anyone living in Jesus' day would have agreed with him. This was a good thing. It was worth going after this one sheep. And when you find this sheep, a sheep which you knew by name, you rejoice, you celebrate. Of course, Jesus' message is really a big double-barreled shotgun that he has locked and loaded. And he's pointing at the religious leaders. This beautiful story. A double-barreled religious shotgun. These leaders had been screwing up their noses at the sort of company Jesus kept. And that even though the priests agreed with Jesus that these people were sinners, they wanted nothing to do with them. They didn't want to go to where the lost sheep were. They didn't want to seek them. They just wanted to enjoy their religious club and let the lost stay lost. Or maybe they can be found, but they're going to have to find themselves. They're going to have to find their own way back to the sheepfold. And we read God's take on their actions in Ezekiel 34. In the back of Jesus' mind as he's telling this story, a list of charges against the shepherds of Israel. That's the religious leaders. And again, what did God do? He hammered home their neglect of the flock. He says, you have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. Therefore, God's word comes to these shepherds. I am against you, God says. I will hold you accountable. I will remove them from tending the flock. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. They are the wolves and the lions. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. I will bring them out from the nations. I will tend them in a good pasture. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. And how is all this to happen? Ezekiel tells us more. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. To search for lost sheep, the Father sent a shepherd. The Father sent Jesus, the good shepherd, into the world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. And we see from the story that Jesus tells that heaven rejoices when the lost sheep has been found and brought home. Heaven throws a party when one of these sinners repents. And heaven is a whole lot happier when this happens than when the religious leaders pretend they're just fine. They're not fine at all. They may think they are, but they are in reality. They are sheep-eating shepherds. They have no love for the sheep. And so God has no love for them. And yet heaven rejoices. God rejoices when the lost sheep is found. And friends, the situation of the lost sheep is our situation. We are born into this world as lost sheep. We're not born innocent and pure, but we're born corrupted by sin. We're born needing a Savior, needing a shepherd to find us, to rescue us, to bring us home. Home is what we all long for safety and security and protection and provision and love. And when you came to realize that you were lost, heaven rejoiced. But even before you came to realize that, the shepherd was already out there looking for you, searching for you, seeking you. And it's the good shepherd who found you, and he brought you home. He brought you into the flock. He brought you into the church. God delighted in that. He took great joy in saving you, in seeking you, in saving you, in rescuing you. And when that happened, heaven threw a party. Heaven rejoiced. But even as heaven rejoices when lost sheep are found, when lost coins are recovered, even as heaven rejoices, we also rejoice. We as God's people rejoice. We rejoice just as the friends and neighbors of the shepherd rejoiced. We rejoice just as the friends and neighbors of the woman who had 10 silver coins and lost one and found it again rejoiced. But let me ask the question this morning, why do we rejoice? Why do we rejoice when lost sheep are found and brought home? Why do we rejoice when lost coins are found after a careful search? It's possible, friends, for us to rejoice for the wrong reasons. It's possible for us to rejoice, but to rejoice for the wrong reasons. Perhaps we might rejoice because there are more people in the church and it feels better to be part of a crowd. Certainly it's encouraging for us to know more people who've been found by Jesus, but no, that's not the reason for rejoicing. Perhaps we might rejoice because seeing someone come to faith in Jesus affirms us in our own faith. Perhaps it strengthens our commitment to following Jesus that someone comes from no faith to faith. And some of these things might be true, and I'm not going to deny these for myself, perhaps not for you either, but that's not the principal reason for our rejoicing. No, we rejoice because heaven rejoices, because God rejoices. We delight in lost sheep coming home. We rejoice in lost coins being found because God delights in the lost being found. You see, the story of what God has done and is doing in Jesus is really great news. And it's great news because we are the bad people. We are the lost sheep, the lost coin. The Bible says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. We've lived for ourselves. We haven't lived for God. So this morning we find ourselves being the sinners that the religious leaders thumbed their noses at. They didn't want anything to do with us. They didn't care for you. But Jesus, oh Jesus, he came to seek and to save the lost. The religious leaders of Jesus' day dressed him down for that in public. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And they meant those words as a rebuke against Jesus. But for us, that is the source of our greatest joy. For it's true that Jesus sits down and eats with sinners. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's true. Thank God that it's true. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. So it reminds us again that we were lost sheep. We were found by a loving shepherd. And we rejoice then as God's people when that message of God finally gets through to a lost sheep. I want to ask you a question this morning. Does heaven rejoice over your life? Does heaven rejoice over your life? Are you a lost sheep whom the shepherd has found? The coin that was lost and has been found once again and rejoiced over. Have you heard the voice of the shepherd speaking to you, calling to you, seeking you, saving you? Or have you marked God's message as a junk email, as spam, and the message isn't getting through into your inbox? Take God off your spam list this morning so the message of God can enter your heart and your soul and your mind and your affections. And then perhaps the Good Shepherd will find you and we can rejoice together with you, together with heaven. Heaven rejoices. We also rejoice. There's one final thing that we need to reflect on, and that is this, that we are to long for greater rejoicing. Heaven rejoices, we also rejoice, but we are to long for even greater rejoicing. We're to long for greater rejoicing because, friends, there's not nearly enough rejoicing going on in heaven right now. We live in a city where 52,590 people didn't identify as Christian in the last census. At least 52,590 people living around us are lost sheep. And Jesus has found us. Jesus has saved us. Jesus has brought us home. He's brought us together over 50 years to ready us for a mission. A mission to walk in His own footsteps. A mission to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, the Good Shepherd who came to seek and save the lost. Now it's true that we cannot save. Only God can forgive sins. Of course, those things are true. But we can seek lost sheep and lost coins. God calls us to seek lost sheep and to bring them to the one who can save them. And whenever someone comes to faith, we rejoice with the angels in heaven. We join and we sing the Hallelujah chorus or whatever praise song you want to put on your lips. But how we should hunger for this not to be something that is just one-off, something that is just an occasional thing, but for there to be a steady trickle, growing into a stream, ending in a mighty river of lost sheep and lost coins coming to know their Savior. And so we should pray. Father, we want to see heaven rejoicing over our city. We want to see Your name magnified in our midst here in Toowoomba. Please answer our prayers according to Your mighty power and for the sake of Your mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus. Someone has said, in the Great Commission, the Lord has called us to be like Peter, fishers of men. But at times we've turned the commission around so that we have become merely keepers of the aquarium. Occasionally, take some fish out of your fish bowl and put them into mine, and you do the same with my bowl. But we're all tending the same fish. Friends, shuffling fish from one fish bowl to another, that's not our mission. Swapping sheep with other sheepfolds is not our mission. Moving coins from one bank to another bank is not our mission. Our mission is to seek lost sheep and lost coins. And friends, there is nothing greater, there is nothing grander than to see, that we could long for, than to see heaven rejoicing over salvation. And if we are to long for that, if we do long for that, if we're going to long for that, then we need to devote ourselves to that as well. Devote our thinking and our ideas and our budget and our lives to seek lost sheep. To be willing to change for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God. To seek lost sheep so that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, can bring them into His sheepfold. So that heaven can rejoice, that we can rejoice, so that God can be glorified here in our midst and be honored. And so, in the light of these parables, let us long for greater rejoicing. Let us long to reach Australia with the gospel, beginning with more than 50,000 people here in our city. Let us devote ourselves to this mission that God has given us. Let us devote ourselves to that mission prayerfully and in dependence upon God, work towards that vision for the glory of His name's sake. Amen.